All right. Well, apparently we are excited for snow. All right. That is a healthy buzz about the white stuff. I say I love pretty much doing anything in the snow. Skiing being at the top of my list for things to do in the snow, except for avalanches. That scares me a lot. Very fun to watch, though. Anyways, welcome to Sword Drill Sunday. That Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. And so we've done this a number of times. We're going to have Josh and my son, Devin. If you are the fastest, you will get a candy cane or two. And so they're going to be running around. Josh, I know you might need to stretch for this, so you might want to take just a second to do that while I go over the rules with us. There we go. All right, so real quick, when I say swords up, that means you hold your closed Bible. There's some Bibles in the pews. We're not going to do electronics. We're going old school today. We want you to hold your Bible by its spine, all right, this part here, and straight up in the air, all right? We don't want sideways elbows. We don't want anybody elbowed in the face, all right? We're pretty full. We're not playing in the World Juniors, all right? I don't want to see your finger in the Bible ready to go. All right, and so after I say swords up, a chapter and a verse will be called, such as the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1 will be called up, and then you would go to try to find that one. All right, and so when you don't have to keep your hand up there, Dennis, he's like ready to go. All right, he's getting a shoulder workout this morning. I got this. All right, when you find the verse, the first person to stand up, all right, with their finger on the verse, ready to read it out loud, and Josh and Devin are going to come around with the microphone, and you will read it out loud. That person will win. So if you are not ready yet, we might just move on. All right, they're going to help see who stands up first. All right, balcony, we want them to get a stair workout too. All right, so we need you. And this last rule is kind of lame. You can only win once. We're just going to try to, you know, get more people to get going in here. All right? So we're going to do a quick practice round. All right? This one, 18 and under, though, okay? I mean, if you're an adult, you can still practice. Just don't stand up. We'll let the kids go on this one. So practice round, 18 and under. Are we ready?
We have to run still?
Sorry? Yes, yes. We want them to read the verse. So if you stand up, you need to be prepared to read the verse out loud in front of everybody, which is a great honor. It's the word of God. All right, let's go. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. I forgot swords up. I'm already messing this up. All right, we got Dennis. I want 18 and under, though. We got someone under 18 finding this verse. Let's cheer him on. You got this. We got it. Yes, Anya up at the top. Make him run. That's good. Oh, I love it. All right. That is a long ways to go. Wow. Okay. We want Josh to sweat. And he wore a hoodie and a toque. That was a mistake, bro. All right. Here we are. Ephesians chapter 6, 17.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
All right. Good job, Anya. You. All right. So this is actually where we get the idea of the sword drill, or for the title, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In other words, the sword of the Spirit is the Bible. All right. So now that we got that kind of laid out, are we ready to roll? This next one's for everybody. All right, so swords up. See, I was missing this slide on the practice one. Okay, the first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians. Oh, you can go, Terry. Once I call it out, once you see it, you can go. If he wins this one, anyone standing up? 1 Corinthians 3. You got it? Yeah, we got Charlotta in the front here. That was the first person I saw. Josh and Devin coming with the microphone. Come in on down. All right.
Okay, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?
All right, thank you. Good stuff. Okay, we are excited. This is good. Okay, so don't you realize, all right, it says all of you together, all right? This is kind of like a y'all, right? So all of you together are the temple of God. And so my question is, what is the temple? All right, maybe a few of you want to shout it out. What is a temple? I heard maybe, or church. Did I hear love? Sorry?
Love.
All right. Anybody else? What? Pardon? Holy? Yeah, that's good. Faith. Yeah. Place where God lives. All right. So that's kind of ultimately the place where I'm looking for. All right. A temple is a place where God's presence resides. All right. In the Old Testament, you had the tabernacle, which is like a tent temple that could move around, and God's presence moved with the tabernacle. And then, all right, when King Solomon built the temple, it was like God's presence resides here in this one location in Jerusalem. All right. So, but this is amazing. So a temple is also a place of devotion, right? It's a place of devotion, a place of prayer, a place of worship. All right, but listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He says that you together, so all of us collectively as a universal church, now you are the temple, which is amazing. So this means that God's presence in us can all over the globe. All right, and the crazy thing is, all right, the first temple in Jerusalem, we're an awful long ways away from Jerusalem. All right, this God's presence, this temple has spread out over the globe. Billions of people believing in this message of Jesus, right? Because of this, the Spirit of God lives in you. It lives in us, both collectively and as individuals when we invite Jesus into our lives. And so, quick question. So this first one's about God's home. All right, what, just to think about, if my body, if my life is a place for God's home, how should I keep my house? All right, how should I keep my home and my body? All right, I think this matters. What we do with our bodies matter because we are housing the holy presence of God, which is incredible. All right, so now kids, a lot of you have papers and some crayons. If you don't and you still want them and you're already tired of me talking, that's okay. If you want to go out, there's more paper and crayons just in the foyer. But kids, I want you, if you want, you can draw a picture. What kind of home do you think God would like to live in? So if you go on the back of your paper, it's nice and blank. Draw a picture of what you think God's home might look like, and then you can show me after the service, okay? More candy canes for you. All right. So first one, 1 Corinthians 3:16, God's home, swords up. when I say it, that means go time. So 2 Timothy 3:16, you can go. 2 Timothy 3:16. All right, this is for everyone. Yes, we got, I think, right over here down in the front. Debbie, very close second. This is good. 2 Timothy 3:16.
Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory.
Is that 2 Timothy 3:16? That's a great verse, by the way. That was good. All right, I think we had Debbie. Debbie, do you still have it? All good. Debbie, 2 Timothy 3:16. We got more than we bargained for this morning. That was bonus.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Thank you. Excellent. Okay. So the first one, God's home. This one is about God's word. All right. So all scripture, all right, scripture, kind of another way we say the Bible, is God-breathed. All right, that means this book is not simply paper and ink, but that somehow God's life, God's spirit, his reality is in this book. All right, and we know this to be true because this book has been transforming lives and infusing people with God's spirit for 2,000 years. All right, this is an amazing book that breathes life into humanity. It breathes spiritual life into us. And as I see this, all scripture is God-breathed, I actually think right back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I'll say right at the beginning of the Bible, all right, we have this picture. It says God reached out and he formed man from the dust of the earth. So we actually have God getting his hands dirty, carefully crafting the first human in Adam. And then before he becomes a living person, all right, so God forms him, and then he breathes in his nostrils the breath of life. We have this very intimate picture of what God is doing. And it says, after God breathed in him, it said the man became a living being. Or literally, he became a living soul. This amazing picture. Now, a number of years ago, one of my children decided it would be a good idea to stick a bead up their nostril. And it was up there. And my wife is an operating room nurse, which would have been very helpful in this instance, but she was at work, I believe, or she was out. And so I spent about half an hour, tweezers, toothpicks, and I think I just shoved it in there further. And I'm like, oh, man, like, I'm going to have to go to the ER, and we're going to have to sit there for a long time. And so I called the BC nurse helpline, and they put me on hold. And I'm like, ah, oh. Like, so I Googled it. What do I do? And it said, this is what you do. The nostril that doesn't have a bead in it, you kind of plug with your finger, and then you blow in their mouth, and it'll come out. And my thought was, there is no way that is going to work. Like, they haven't seen the bead in my kid's nostril. Like, it is up there. And I was like, but before spending 6 hours in the ER, I'm going to give it a go. All right, so I say, hey, buddy, here's what we're going to do. And he's like, okay. And so I covered his nostril, and I wanted this to work, right? So I blew hard. And I wish I had this on video because that bead shot out of his nostril like a rocket. It was amazing. All right, and when we looked at each other, all right, we just burst down into laughter. It was so funny. Just there was joy. All right, and I think very strongly that when God breathed breath into the first human being, into Adam, and when he opened his eyes and God saw his face, I believe that there was laughter and absolute joy at that first meeting. All right, when God looks at you, how do you think he sees you? Is there absolute joy? I believe there is. When God looks at your face, he is delighted in you, his creation. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And even today, Psalm 39, it says, God knits us together in our mother's womb. He's still actively involved in the creation of every single human person. It's amazing. All right? The question is, do you need the breath of God to come and breathe new life into you in this season? And may I suggest that if you do, my question would be, what are your Bible reading habits like? Right? What are your Bible reading habits like? If you want the breath of God breathed into you, I would argue the two number one ways to do it is through scripture and through coming to church on Sunday. All right? Because the Bible is useful for teaching. All right? There's a lot of things we can learn about God. We can learn about salvation and the history of God working with his people and about how to live for God. All right, in that there's going to be some rebuking. All right, it's not all easy. God is going to call us out where we have walked from the path he has for us. He's going to call us out on our sin, on our greed, our pride, our lust, our desire for control. All right, but he doesn't just call us out. Right? He corrects us, saying, hey, you're going down this path that's leading to death, and I'm going to turn you and help you get back on the path that leads to life and eternal life, right? He's going to help train us in righteousness, all right? We're getting ready to learn to live in God's full presence in the kingdom to come, all right, when Jesus returns. All right, 2 Timothy 3:16, and with that, people of North Shore Alliance Church, there's a number of us who've already signed up. All right, there is a Read the Bible in 2026 challenge that we have. And Ken, maybe you want to give a wave. Ken's up in the balcony there in the red plaid. He's going to be helping lead this. This is really just off your YouVersion Bible app. There's a particular thing we're going to go through. You can look online for more information. But really, to read through the Bible in a year, that's about 3 chapters a day. Depending how fast you read, 10 to 15 minutes a day, all right? We have a great app. You can listen to it, all right? And so I really want to encourage you, a great way to let God breathe new life into you is to read through the Bible. And so I encourage you to sign up. I encourage you to give this a go. Maybe you've never done it, or maybe you haven't done it in a while, or maybe this is something you do every year, and you just say, hey, this would be fun to do in community. So I encourage us as a church to step into that. Sound good? All right. Swords up. Now, this one's for 12 and under. So we got this one for the kids. And a quick thought, too. If you have this verse memorized and you know it off by heart and you're willing to say, you can stand right up, all right? And you can just say it from your memory. Okay, are you ready, kids? 12 and under. Swords up. John 3:16. Anybody willing to stand up? Oh, we got Elsie over there. All right, go ahead. Elsie's going to say this for us. That is good. Got her brother ready to roll. All right. John 3:16. You got this, Elsie.
God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him will never have perished, but have eternal life.
Woo! All right, a little bit of a classic. Now, I want you again, maybe just real quick, turn to the people beside you. What sticks out to you in this verse? Maybe what jumped out at you decades ago when you first heard it, or maybe just what's something new and afresh? I encourage you, or if you don't like talking to the people beside you in church, I get that. You can, like, write down a note on your phone or something, and that'll be clear to them. But just what stands out to you in this verse? Take about 30 seconds. All right, we can bring it back in. Now, I think this is such a common verse that many of us memorize as a child. I think, bottom line, Bible memory, I think it's really good to have a few in your back pocket. This is absolutely one of them. Others like Psalm 23, get that locked into memory. That's maybe really a lost art of us modern church in the West is our Bible memorization. Maybe that's something you want to jump into in the new year. Memorize some Bible scriptures, some Bible verses, some scriptures, passages. I encourage you to do that. Anybody here, do we have any American football NFL fans in the room? We got like 2-3 of us. All right, well, the rest of you, you're just going to have to listen to this story anyways. And so bear with me. All right, anybody heard the name Tim Tebow? Okay, a whole bunch of us. All right, he's active in ministry. He's a former NFL quarterback, and he was a Heisman Trophy winner in college. All right, in his junior year of college football, you know how football players in baseball, they put that black under their eyes? All right, well, he did that, and at the start of the season, he put Philippians 4:13 under his eyes, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I'm not entirely sure the Apostle Paul had American football in mind when he wrote that verse, but we're going to let it slide for this story, all right? And through this, they had a really good season, and they got to the championship game, the National College Championship. But Tim just had this sense, he's like, oh, I feel like God really wants me to change the verse. And he's like, oh, what verse should I change it to? And he's like, you know what, I think it's got to be John 3:16. And he's talking to his dad about this, and his dad is like, have you talked to your coach? All right, his coach is very superstitious, all right? And as superstition goes in sports, if you are doing something and you're winning, you keep doing that thing and you do not change it. All right, so Tim goes to his coach, and his coach is like, you can't change the verse. He's like, that verse got us here. Tim's like, oh, you know what? He kind of explained his heart, and his coach is like, okay, you can change the verse. But don't you? Anyways, so he changed the verse and he kind of forgot about it. And you know what? They won the college national championship. And 2 days later, Tim was with his parents and his coach out for dinner at a restaurant. All right, and his coach got a phone call from their PR guy, and he's like, yeah, uh-huh, okay, interesting, yep. And Tim's like, what was that about? And his coach said, hey, that was our PR guy. And he said, during the game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. That's roughly three times the population of Canada in one three-hour game Googled John 3:16. All right, Tim's first thought was like, how do that many people not know John 3:16? But he was amazing. That was in January 2009. 3 years later, Tim was playing in a playoff game in the NFL for the Steelers. He still had John 3:16 under his eyes. And in that game, they won. This was to go to the Super Bowl, I think. He said they won the game in overtime. And so afterwards, Tim was called to the press room. And as he was on his way, their PR guy again came to him and said, Tim, do you know what happened? And he's like, we won. He's like, no. He said, this is exactly 3 years from when you put John 3:16 under your eyes in college. And he's like, okay. And he's like, during the game, Tim, he said, you threw for 316 yards. He said, your yards per rush were 3.16. Your yards per completion were 31.6. And your team's time of possession was 31.06. And during the game, 90 million people Googled John 3:16, and it's the number one thing trending on social media right now. All right, that's pretty cool. Tim's like, God, he's like, I didn't know you were doing anything. That was 3 years ago. I thought it was done. He said, but God has an amazing plan. When we step out with a little bit of faith and some courage, God can do amazing things. And this big God, all right, so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? The call is to believe in God. Now, maybe you've picked this up. The title for the sermon this morning is Famous 3:16s. So we got some famous 3:16s. We're not quite done yet. I got some more for you. All right? So are we ready? Swords up? All right, here we go. This verse is Psalm 31, verse 6. Throwing a little curveball in there for you. Psalm 31, verse 6. Oh, we got Silas over here. That was quick. Psalm 31, 6. You guys practicing at home? I like it.
I hate those who cling to worthiness idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord.
Nice work. All right. This is some strong language. All right, we're going to clap for him. That's good. Now, going back. Hate's a pretty strong word. All right, I think it's clear. Jesus has taught us to love our enemies. But this is from a Psalm of David. And I think if we look at what he's getting here, he says, I hate those not just who are like wrestling with idolatry, right? He says, what does he say? Those who cling, right? They're clinging to not just an idol, but a worthless idol, to worthless idol. They're just clinging for their meaning, for their help, for everything. And it's just death, right? It's not leading them anywhere. It's not the living God. And so I think this is a good reminder to us. Is there something we are clinging to? Is there something we clung to in 2025 that we need to release in order to trust in the Lord? So that's the call. It's a reminder. Are we trusting in God? Is there something we're clinging to that we need to let go of? I encourage you this week, lots of us have time off, to just ask God, God, what am I clinging to? Is there anything I need to let go of? Where can I trust you more wholeheartedly? Swords up. Keep rolling here. We got ourselves 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. We got Hannah up there very quickly. All right, little stair run. That's good. They are gone. So the rest of you keep looking for that one. 1 John 3:16, little book right near the end of your Bible. Okay, drop the candy canes. All right. Hannah, 1 John 3:16.
Do you want me to hold it?
Yeah, you can hold it.
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters.
All right. Good work, Hannah. I like this version. Not just what love is, what real love is, right? Not just an emotion that we feel or a feeling. What is real love? All right, we get this idea. Real love, we know what it is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So what does real love look like? Sacrifice, right? It looks like this sacrificial love in action for the betterment of one another. All right, so we know what love is. We know what sacrificial love is. So we also ought give up our lives for our brothers and sisters, right? Give up our lives for the betterment of our church community, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can look around and see in this room. I have a story from a number of decades ago that's from Eastern Europe behind the Iron Curtain under communism. All right, Christianity was very illegal. And there's a house church pastor. He was a father of seven. He was found out and arrested, hauled off to prison, and his wife was put on house arrest. Apart from once a week, she could go to the market to buy food, which didn't really matter because she had no money. She did not have two pennies to her name. But she had a baggy coat with some big pockets. And so she would walk slowly through the market. And by the time she had walked through and walked home, her pockets were filled with potatoes and onions and things to make soup, sometimes a bit of money, so she could feed her family. Sometimes a chicken showed up on their doorstep. Now, this church didn't have a building, had very little resources, but they sure knew what it was to love one another. They knew what it meant to be the church for one another. And I think for us, perhaps, maybe the number one way we can show love to one another is to sacrifice our time, right? Our time is precious. We're very busy people. All right, so how can we give our time in order to love and listen and really pause, right? Put our distractions down and really dig into relationship with one another. All right, God's love. How can we sacrifice for others? All right, this is our final one. Swords up. We got ourselves Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Oh, down in the front there is a pretty lady, my wife, Emily.
Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. So as we go into 2026, may the message of Christ dwell among us richly, all right? As we teach, admonish, encourage one another with all the wisdom that comes through Psalms, through the Bible, through hymns, songs from the Spirit, which we're about to do, singing to God with gratitude, that's key, in our hearts. I love verse 17 too. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, all right, whether you're a plumber or an accountant or business person or stay-at-home mom, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we've had God, we've talked about God's home, God's word. Worship team, you can come on up. God's home, God's word. We've been encouraged to believe in God, to trust in God. We've been reminded about God's love through John 3:16, through 1 John 3:16, this sacrificial love, and we are reminded to worship this great God who gave himself for us. Let me pray for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, We love you. God, we thank you that through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, that you sent your gift of the Spirit to us, that we can be a place where your Spirit, where your very presence resides in us. God, your word says that you pour your love into us through the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, let us feel that afresh now, that you would be pouring your love into our hearts, that we would feel filled up from you. And God, may we pour that love out as we believe in you, as we trust in you more, and as we worship you. In Jesus' name,